after what felt like the longest 2 weeks in the history of this podcast, we're back.
I know. A lot of people asked me where we were. I was like, geez, we just took a week off.
Mama had a social life.
I did, finally.
So last Thursday, we did not record.
Right.
However, I did notice a spike in the previous episode's downloads, so...
Funny.
That's, you know, maybe we need to be taking this time off more frequently. But this is episode 31. Welcome, everyone.
31.
The Addicted to Love podcast. 31. Ah, my life started falling apart at 31.
Oh, great memories. Yeah,
that was the year of my back surgery.
Was it really?
31 years old when I had it.
Huh.
31 with the spine of a 70-something-year-old.
Gosh, that seems crazy.
That seems wrong?
Yeah, it just doesn't. I guess I would have pinned it later, a little later in our 30s, but...
Nope.
That was other issues. Other issues happened later in our 30s.
Oh, we'll get into so much of that on tonight's episode. Mm-hmm. So at what point are we debuting what tonight's special feature is for you?
Yeah, well, people can't see us.
No, I know, so that's why confused. I'm going to.
Okay, so I love the out-of-office Bud Light seltzers. This is not a secret. I've been very vocal about this. People dropped them off on our front porch in the spring. And
Dozens of boxes.
Bud Light's gotten into doing seasonal packs. So, like, that was the spring break pack. Phenomenal. Greatest one they've ever done, truly. The summer one was okay. It was 3 flavors. The spring break one was 4. I wouldn't buy it again. It was just whatever. I'll just drink my out of offices. Then they decided to do a fall pack. Now, they're plaid cans, which is just super fun. The flavors sound horrible, but I bought it anyway because hashtag marketing. And I'm a sucker. Now, 2 of them don't sound half bad, but I picked pumpkin spice to have during the podcast
tonight.
There's
pumpkin spice everything. It's so basic.
I love pumpkin spice. Then I'm just a basic bitch.
Yeah, you are.
But I love pumpkin spice, and I get a pumpkin coffee every Friday morning, sometimes on other mornings too. But
you know who you should be drinking that with?
Who?
Our friend Dion. The 2 of you drinking those together, that would be great. And I know he's not listening, but hopefully it somehow will, I'll get a message out to him. And the taste?
Huh. Well, it's definitely pumpkin spicy, but like, that's weird. I just didn't know how pumpkin spice would come across as a seltzer.
I don't know how seltzers come across as a seltzer.
Well, I love seltzers. I mean, I'll drink it because... I opened it, and we don't want to let beer go to waste.
Yeah, this is the Addicted to Seltzer episode, so welcome, welcome, pumpkin spice.
It's fallish. I don't know.
All right. Well, half a seltzer, and Stacy had worked out tonight before that, so she's going to be wasted by the time this thing's over. All right, our first segment, as always, is feedback and feelings, and we have... lots of them.
So many feelings.
So many. Well, I don't know. It's a little bit of both. We had a lot of musical commentary. So we'll go here.
Our music selection is appreciated.
You made my week with your song selection as I was walking. Everybody's favorite former choir teacher. And it says, really, but also really enjoyed your section about self-care. The political context around education this year is tough to work through. Forgotten how important it is to take care of myself first so I can be there for my marriage and my family. And love reminders about taking time for me and my wife. I need to find a way to slow time down and enjoy the minutes and not always the hours. Great thoughts. Thank you. Oh.
It was good feedback. It warmed my heart.
Yes.
It's nice to know.
Well, it's nice to know that there's stuff out there that can help because I think it's therapeutic for us. And I think in the last couple of weeks, while it was okay to take a week off, I could tell it kind of, this is a psychological reprieve for us getting the opportunity to talk to each other through things.
For sure.
Because so many of our conversations get interrupted by our children, and why the parents out there know how that can go. So just have uninterrupted time together and then talk about things, I think. At least we know we have that time for us to connect as well.
Yeah. Side note, this drink kind of tastes like a pumpkin bar. So not so much pumpkin spice. There's a little bit of like a cream cheese frosting edge to this drink right now.
And I can't tell if that's good or bad. I don't think you know either.
I don't think I know either. I didn't know what to expect.
I thought it would happen at the end, everybody, but looking into her eyes, she's drunk right now.
Stop.
Pumpkin spice. It goes straight to the
pumpkin
veins.
Pumpkin spice.
You're done.
In the veins.
All right. The next one that we had tonight was
That's my sister.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was trying to figure it out. So when it says the first one I listened to,
I'll call her out.
What's
well, because she hadn't been listening to
the first episode,
remember,
that she listened to. That's right.
She was talking about that. She wanted to.
So it was the episode
start
that
listening
had
and catch up, yep. And it was the one where we happened to talk about the Blackhawk concert,
which I'm guessing she was there with you at.
I don't think that was my sister that was there.
Hmm.
In my memory, it's not, but
she
heck,
also
I could be wrong.
As we were reflecting back on the world, the colored pens. And the big fat colored pens, which I think everybody remembers fondly. Other friends of ours had comments about the Destiny's Child concert, which this particular friend was
has great memories there of this Destiny's Child concert.
None of you have memories of that night. I'm the one with the memories.
I have memories.
No, not after 7 o'clock. You don't. You have memories from 6:15 to 7 o'clock, and then you have no.
And
memories.
I have memories of parking in a grassy field. I don't. I have memories.
And then said sticker books, also cheering her up. All right. And then also Study Hall loved the Saved by the Bell shout out on that one. I wonder what we're going to play tonight.
The song.
We didn't talk about that. We're going to find out.
Mm-hmm. Fly by the Seat of My Pants.
And then we had this one, which most of those are pretty uplifting and pretty good.
Yeah.
And then tonight I actually had a friend of mine who sent me a song. And it was from an artist I'd never heard of. And they started by saying, have you ever heard of the artist named Jelly Roll?
Which is funny. I just can't even get past this person's name.
It's a very funny name. And he's a very large mammal. And if you haven't had the chance to look
with
him up.
With face tattoos.
Well, so then he. But he is an amazing singer. And so the video that he sent me was this song called Save Me. And I listened to it.
He definitely is on Spotify.
Oh, there you go. So he played the song and it's, and I played it and I listened to it and I was like, you know, I was kind of, when he sent it to me, I was doing something, but I was kind of like, okay. And then I was like, oh my God, that's such a powerful song. And then I played it again and really pulled a Stacey and listened to the lyrics, which is something I rarely do. I kind of, you know, listen to it, but I don't really. I'm always a beat person first and like the tempo and everything. And then I got to the point where I started listening to it and I was just like, I started crying. And it is definitely a song about somebody who has been down the path and the road of addiction. Mm-hmm. And anybody out there that's had some kind of a hardship or a struggle, especially with substances of some type, whether it was, you know, to the degree that I did or other people have, if you've ever been super low or done something or screwed up in your life, like for me, so then I had gone to pick up Janny and I'm kind of like crying. And then I played it and Janny, who is aware, I mean, to some relative degree of the mistakes that I've made. And we start listening to it and I am a fucking wreck. I am blubbering with tears.
Yes, I know. She came in and warned me that you'd been crying and I accused her of forcing you, of being the one that made you cry.
You had no idea. No. But it was also at the time where it was like, I think, you know, there are times where, especially with her, she's going through this time in her life, but then those real, real moments happen and it's like she can snap out of it and you see the loving part of her. And it was like, these aren't even sad tears. These are actually tears of like, this is why I try to do. And I said that to her. I said, this is probably why I'm hard on you. No one has besmirched the name in our family more so than I have. So I really want to make sure that you understand what's going on, why I'm going through those things, and kind of why we're doing things.
This is interesting. So I'm just looking.
I got very sidetracked there because you're not looking at me at all.
No,
and so
it's okay.
I felt like I was just rambling. No. I don't even like the last like 60 seconds of what I've said.
Oh, I was listening.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I was looking.
Yeah. I'm very curious.
I'm
what
just,
are you
I was
looking up?
Looking at what his.
Oh, okay.
Album
what else? Yeah. Because I want to listen to more of his stuff. So.
Yeah. So it was called, or his album's called Addiction Kills.
Then I need to listen to more of it.
Now, it does say explicit lyrics on most of these songs.
That doesn't bother me.
I know it doesn't bother you. His latest single is called Sober.
So he's, it was very transformative. I had you listen to it as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, but it is, I sent it to another friend of mine who has been sober for several years. And he was just like, he sent me back after he listened to it. He goes, "My God." He's like, "I did not think it was going to be that."
Hmm.
And it's interesting because the song like itself, I actually disagree with the premise behind it, but yet, and my buddy agreed too. He's like, "But we totally know what it's like to be in that down place." So if you haven't at this point, it's, I don't know, 3-4 minutes long, but I encourage you to pause, listen to it, and it will give you a very interesting perspective. Now, if you haven't been down the same path I have, or we have, it may not hit you in the same kind of way, but if you know anybody that's been impacted by that, it's
right.
really cool.
I think
cool.
that's the kicker is, I do think it hits different when you've experienced that in your life, especially for you, you know, having gone through it. And then for me, having been a person, so in the lyrics, he talks about wanting this person to give up on them, like, just don't waste your time on me. And it brings back a lot of memories of you saying that to me, like, I don't want you to waste your time. Like, you just need to move on. Like, I just want you to leave. I just want, you know, I don't want you to stay with me. Like, what he's saying, it really did hit home, because that is a lot of what you said to me on a regular basis.
Yeah, when you're and for me, and that was, I lost my train of thought earlier, but the one of the big things now, and I reiterated it to a couple of people that are in my inner circle, which is just, it is the idea of, it's okay to have these feelings and emotions, and it's okay to be transported back, you know, 5.5 years to those moments, because it reminds me of why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And it is such a fresh perspective that you need sometimes, because, you know, people, I think I had this conversation with a different person last night. I haven't told you this, but like, a different person in my inner circle last night. And we talked about that idea, because he has got friends that he never knew them when they were either drinking or on drugs or anything like that. And they had been clean and sober for 15 years
mm-hmm.
and then relapsed. And now it's like, now I know that person. I never knew him before. And it's like, I don't want to be around him anymore. And so it's, I think he looks then at me with a guarded heart of like, what are you going to do when this life event or something terrible happens or whatever? And it's like, I wish I could tell you, I'd like to think I'm going to just keep, you know, that's why I taught myself those things. But
right.
So it is, it's very good. It's good to have those moments that remind me. So sorry to end the feedback and feelings on a lot of feelings, but
whoa.
Damn, a lot of feelings. All right, the next segment, slowly becoming everyone's favorite. Hashtag real memory. It's how people feel about pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Is how they feel about this segment.
Hashtag real memory.
All right, so in this one, we are going through movies from the 90s.
Last time. Because this is it. I think this is the last chunk.
We're getting to we've gone through 36 of them already.
I feel like we're
getting.
Maybe not.
I think we have a lot more than you realize. 36
okay.
is a lot.
Whatever.
We're older than 36, but 36 is a lot.
36, 25, 34. Isn't that the measurement?
25, 36.
It's 36, 25, 36?
Only if she 5'3".
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Also from the 90s. All right. The first movie that we have up here, I don't know how this doesn't get 10 out of 10, The Sandlot.
The Sandlot, 10.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is funny, because I don't know that our kids have ever seen this movie. I feel like we need to watch it with
them. We might, yeah.
A former coworker, I mean, she's a huge baseball buff, and hands down, probably her favorite movie. And her family watches this movie all the time. She can quote the whole movie. But we both regularly talked about how hot Benny was. Like, every girl's dream. And it just, yeah, cracks me up.
I don't have
You're
commentary.
Killing Me Smalls is like the greatest
exactly.
quote of all time
yeah.
from this movie.
I don't have commentary on how hot Benny was. He was hot. But I will say, yeah, great movie. James Earl Jones with an awesome
but
cameo.
But don't you
in
have,
it.
What's Wendy
Beast?
Peppercorn? Didn't you have come?
I didn't have them then. I have them currently still. All right, the next one that we have. I've never seen this one, Before Sunrise. It was a part of, like, there's like three different movies.
I've never seen this movie.
Yeah, there was there's several movies. I think this might have been the first one where they filmed it with, like, I think this is the series where they filmed three of them with the same actors and let them age naturally as the storyline progressed. I believe, so it's like Before Midnight, and then there's something like Before Sunset, I think are the three.
Yeah, it does say there's two more films in this series.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I've never seen that one. I'm going to give it a zero.
Oh.
Because I can't.
I was just going to not compete, but if you want to go super negative and give it a zero, I mean, I guess that's the pumpkin spice talking. All right.
Whatever.
Thumb on the Wheeze.
I think I was too young. I mean, the problem here is we were nine when this came out in 1991. I knew the premise of Thelma and Louise, and, like, I heard about Thelma and Louise, and I think I watched it later. Okay. I mean, I...
Like, I drove my date to the movies to watch that one.
Really?
Oh, at nine, I was, like, 6'2 and...
Right.
225.
I mean, it does say that we get a shirtless 26-year-old Brad Pitt in this movie, so maybe I need to go watch it.
Wow. You're just really...
No, I'm just
saying. You're in a way right now. That's fine. Are you trying to tell me to do more sit-ups? Is that the message here?
Oh, my gosh.
Stop. You're going to give me a complex, woman.
It's the pumpkin spice.
All right. Two more. Jerry Maguire.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Agreed.
I'm giving this a 10.
The human head weight, 8 pounds.
Oh, I loved the lift.
He
was like the cutest kid ever.
Show me the money.
Another
great line.
Help me. Help you.
Who's coming with me? And then I know I have seen this one. I guarantee you have not. Fargo.
I've seen parts.
Yeah, it's pretty gruesome.
I've never seen it in its entirety. It's pretty gruesome? Is that what you
said? It's a pretty gruesome comedy. It's like a dark comedy.
Oh.
I mean, it's also suspenseful, but there's like the comedic moments are like dark in this movie.
Wow, okay.
But it is a great one. Okay, we'll do one more. We got to do one more.
I know. Sorry, I saw what was coming next and I was like, oh, he's either going to wait and jump in this.
Might be my favorite movie of all time.
Of all time?
Of all time. I cannot wait to watch this with Janny. We are getting very close to me watching this with Janny.
We're not there yet.
Oh, we are very close. We are super close.
We are not there yet.
I was 13 when I watched it. She's nearly 12.
Okay, we're not there yet.
In another month, I'm watching this.
Stop.
With her. I'm going to record a podcast while watching it with her.
Oh my God, will you shut up?
All right, Tommy Boy. One of my favorite movies of all time. So amazing. So good that when... I had my teams, like my junior high, like basketball teams, we would quote it. Me and my assistant coach. And so I made them over the weekend go watch it. And then the next Monday at practice, I said some lines and I could tell about half of them watched it. Mm-hmm. So they're laughing. And the other half that hadn't watched it, like a lot of them then went home and watched it that night.
That's funny. What did Chris Farley die of?
Overdose.
It was overdose. Oh, I was wondering if he was an addict.
I feel
like this is a pattern. With a lot of
him,
you know,
Jim Belushi,
Kurt Cobain.
You
just got a lot of like 90s.
Jimi Hendrix, all were 27.
All overdose?
All were drug related deaths, yes. Whew. Yeah. So Chris Farley had a very big, streak of that kind of stuff. But I mean, to think that he died at 27 is just crazy.
Well, and what he did up to that point in his life is amazing.
Maybe he was older than 27. I keep saying because I know that Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix were, but he might have been older than that. I could have that wrong. I'll admit that. But.
Whenever I think about someone like this and like Robin Williams, some of those deaths... I think we have to remember just how important it is to check on people who are even really good at being funny and hiding it and, you know, putting up this barrier of things are great, life is great, and making jokes about everything because it's
easy way to hide the pain.
It is. It's an easy way to make it look like things are okay. Not to go dark here on this, but...
It's a fair point.
It is.
And with you having us take a turn into the dark.
As I take a drink of my pumpkin spice. I'm not sure about this.
As she gets slowly drunker.
Oh my gosh.
She is on her fourth pumpkin spice in the last 20 minutes.
She is lying.
She's lying. I'm pausing the podcast just so she could chug them.
Oh.
It's crazy.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
The next segment is, have you gotten drunk on pumpkins? Oh, sorry. have you gone mental? All right, so this is where we're looking at the psychological side of life. So you came up with a different one tonight.
Okay, so someone I follow on Instagram is, his name's Chris Powell, and it's interesting because he's the ex of someone who is kind of Rachel Hollis, who's big on, like, she writes a lot of books, self-help type things, and they got divorced, and he is with that husband is now with Chris Powell's ex-wife. There's lots of crisscross. Anyway, I follow some of these people on Instagram, and they post a lot of awesome things. So this came from him.
Okay. So is he drinking pumpkin spice tonight, or?
Oh my gosh.
The title of this episode is going to be so easy. This is going to be the easiest title ever.
Okay. Anyway, he posted 7 rules of life.
Basic pitch. That's what I'm calling tonight's episode.
7 rules of life. And I thought they were so basic that it's easy to forget some of these things that seem so easy. I mean, it is. Yeah. And he talks about that he posts some in his bathroom, on his mirror, so he can read them every morning and just kind of keep them really in the forefront of his mind. Okay? All right. Number 1, make peace with your past. And then it says, so it won't disturb your future. And I think that's almost just as important, the second part, as the first part. And I think we've talked about a lot of what we're doing here on the podcast and doing our first episode and really just trying to talk about everything was a way to make peace with our past and to try to make it positive, make something that was very negative for us into something positive. And we don't want it to impact our, you know, we've said from the get-go, we don't want to hide behind anything.
So. And I do my best too. And I'm sure for other people be like, oh, I just wouldn't think about it or talk about it. It's kind of like, no, I guess I'm the opposite, where it's like those things serve as my reminders for the future.
Yeah.
And that is part of my way of making peace. I can't pretend it didn't happen. It very much happened. And
right.
So then just using that as learning along the way. So yeah, I'm all in on the first one.
Okay. Number 2, one I struggle with very much.
Mm.
What other people think of you is none of your business.
Mm.
And I think this is one, I'm sure men struggle with this too, but as a female, I feel like this is something I'm constantly in my profession, in my personal life, trying to keep everyone happy and not offend people. And I think in this day and age, people try to walk a very fine line of, well, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I have to get better at it. It really doesn't matter what other people think of me. It's not my business. If they don't like me for who I am and my, this is me, basic bitch.
And that's, but it's also it doesn't mean do whatever the hell you want.
No.
Be a jerk. It's
no.
Just the idea of don't let those times kind of get in the way of being the person that
right.
You are.
Just live your best life and be unapologetically you. In a way that you're still honoring, you know,
the things that you hold dear.
Yeah.
You're still being the type of person that you need to be. All right, that's fair.
Okay. 3. The only person in charge of your happiness is you. And this is something that's very hard to remember. I think we want to place a lot of responsibility on other people for our happiness when I am the only person who can choose my weather.
I can try to cheer you up and you can try to cheer me up, but at the end of the day, it really comes back to that self-care, that self-love, and how critical those things are.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, don't compare your life to others. Comparison is the thief of joy. That is literally one of my least favorite sayings. Comparison is the thief of joy, only because how it's been weaponized in the educational system. As we've talked about, like, differences in the way things
one
might
school
be
does it versus another.
So I think, yes, comparison is the thief of joy when it comes to comparing your life to someone else. But I do think there is a time and place for some equity. There's my plug.
Well, I spend a lot of time as well, you know, as you'll share something. I think we've talked about this before, where you'll share something and it's like you're upset. Like, oh, why isn't that happening for us? Or things like that. And it's just like, I'm just like, oh, that's great for that person.
Right.
Like, awesome. Like,
you're really good at that.
It has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. So score 1 for Doug?
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 5, time heals almost everything. I like that they threw almost in there. Give it time. And I think we learned this firsthand that, you know, we talked about being 1 week or one day out from everything happening, 2 days, 1 week, 1 month. You know, when we were 3 months out, we kept saying to ourselves, I just wonder what it's going to feel like, you know, when we're 1 year. And then pretty soon it's 2 years. And you really do get to a point where time does heal a lot of wounds.
Well, and the thing I've actually applied this concept to has been with our children, especially as they get to a place and where it's like, I'm trying, I have in the last week at trying to be better about just letting whichever child it is, like, go and know that the next time I see them, that could be in a few hours, like in 20 minutes, it could be in at the end of the day, they're going to be different. They may not even remember the kind of way that we left our last interaction together. Okay. And right. Then we'll try and approach it differently.
Walk away. Yep. Six, stop thinking so much. It's all right not to know all the answers.
I love it.
We can overthink ourselves to
I do it all the time.
To the grave. Okay. And number seven, smile. You don't own all the problems in the world. And if that couldn't apply any better in today's society, I don't know what could.
People are doing their best to try to own all of the problems.
Just smile. I think it's something like, what have we said? Smile. Just try and smile like everywhere you go. And people think something is like seriously wrong with you. Yep. But sometimes they start to smile because they saw you smiling and they're like, why is this crazy lunatic walking around with a smile on their face?
You will feel better if you force yourself to smile that much more.
I try to do it when I'm working out sometimes. Like, just smile. It makes this weight feel like it's not as heavy.
Same.
Yeah. So, seven rules of life. I feel like I need to post these somewhere for me.
Number eight, pumpkin spice.
Drink a pumpkin spice. We didn't even get to the hot for the teacher. Got it bad. Got it bad. Got it bad.
I'm hot for teacher. All right. Study hall time. Sorry, I can't play the whole song. I mean, I could play the whole song, but this podcast is long enough. All right. So study hall for me this week. Six healthy relationship habits most people think are toxic. So I kind of came upon this one and I was just like, ooh, and I said, I did. I as I was reading through the entirety of it, I was just like, oh man, there is some really good stuff in here. Okay. So as it was posted.
So most people think these things are toxic in a relationship.
Exactly.
And they're not actually,
they're
healthy.
Not, but they're things that, so it was somebody that were, you know, it was born out of the author had written an article and gotten a lot of feedback from people. And then in doing that, it was just like, okay, here we go. I wasn't anticipating writing an article like this, but then decided to.
Okay, great.
So, says they got a lot of questions like, so if these habits ruin a relationship, his previous article, then what habits create a happy and healthy relationship? And they kept asking that all the time. And he's got a very sarcastic tone to him. So I don't know if you end up throwing these articles out for people to see on the gram.
No, I should.
Along with a picture of your seltzer, you should. So this was something a little bit different. And so it was almost like his follow-up to his article, but it was almost like he calls it the bizarro twin brother of his previous self-help article. So here we go. The first one, letting some conflicts go unresolved. Oh, do you hear that, choir teacher? Yeah, maybe you shouldn't talk about everything before you go to bed.
I don't think that's about that.
As he gets into it, he just, he goes, so he's going to be referring to one of those, as we like to call them, hot shit psychologists, but they said his name is John Gottman. So if we actually are referencing Gottman, he says he's the Michael Jordan of relationship research. And so he says Gottman devised the process of thin slicing relationships, a technique where he hooks couples up to a series of biometric devices and records them having conversations, short conversations. Then he goes back and he analyzes the conversations frame by frame, looking at the data, the body language, tonality, and the specifics that are chosen. His thin slicing approach process boasts a staggering 91% success rate in predicting whether newlywed couples will divorce within 10 years.
Hmm.
Which is kind of a sad way to work a job. You know, where you're sitting right. there analyzing predicting, that, but obviously for a good reason.
Predicting a divorce rate. Well, and I think it sums it up in this when it says that some battles are simply not worth fighting.
Yep.
I think that is something people struggle with. They want to fight every battle, but sometimes it's just, you just have to walk away or just let something go. And I think we've talked about that before. It might, you might feel a lot of, you know, restraint having to do that, but it's probably going to benefit your relationship in the long run.
So the myth is that couples must resolve and communicate on every problem that they have. Mm-hmm. And basically, where he's going with this is because the people believe that they should never have a disagreement between them, they forget the idea that conflict is actually part of a healthy relationship. You don't go to me and I don't go to you so that we agree completely on every single thing that's there.
That's true.
In those conflicts that we have, those differences, that's where growth occurs. That's where empathy can occur, where we're starting to see the other side to an issue. Now, certainly if that piece is missing, thus why Gottman is able to, I guess, predict people's ability to stay married or not stay married. And it says sometimes trying to resolve a conflict creates more problems than it actually fixes, that some battles just are not worth fighting. And so the most optimal relationship strategy is one of live and let live.
Let it go, Elsa. So
that's the first one. Second one is being willing to hurt each other's feelings, which I guess, I don't know, in a weird way might kind of go hand in hand with the first one. But it says it's important to make something more important in your relationship than merely making each other feel good all of the time.
Honesty is more important, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that it's important that you're doing that. So the sunsets, the puppy dogs, that feeling good, they happen when you get the important stuff figured out, what your values are, what your needs are, and then that you trust each other.
Hmm.
So being able to express those to each other.
Well, it's, you know, it talked about like a woman asking if something looks good to her husband and all these different things. And I think a husband wants to default to always saying, yeah, it looks great. But if something looks shitty on me, I really do want you to tell me. And I hope that you will.
I do.
And likewise, I would say it to you too. Like if you were like, does this shirt look okay? Like, no, not really. You probably should change. You look like a...
And he references his own, I'll cut you off so you don't have to insult me.
I know, I was like, ooh, thank you. I don't know where to go.
Yeah, you're going down a real rabbit hole.
I don't want to hurt his feelings. So, I'm just kidding.
So he says his wife, you know, does call him out. And while it does bruise his ego a little bit and he complains for a bit eventually, because time heals things,
right.
He gets over it and realizes that she was right and she makes me a better person. And even though I hated hearing her truth telling all the time, it was ultimately good for me.
Yeah.
The third one is being willing to end it.
Like end the relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's an interesting idea. So it says our standards for what a successful relationship should be are kind of messed up. If a relationship ends and someone's not dead, we view it as a failure, regardless of the emotional or practical circumstances present in the person's life. And that's kind of insane. So like he references Romeo and Juliet. And now Romeo and Juliet was written as a satire. Was written as people who take love way too serious, and then the media and entertainment over time, it's evolved into what they want, you know, young people to think that that's what love is supposed to be. And it says here, sometimes the only thing that can make a relationship successful is ending it at the necessary time before it becomes damaging.
So this is interesting. I just had this conversation this weekend with someone, and we were talking about a teenage child of this person. And we were talking about them having to end a relationship and just like the process that teenagers have to go through and, you know, the emotions that go along with that, the feelings that go along with that, but trying to help and teach our children how that looks in a healthy way and why sometimes you should end a relationship. And that's not a bad thing because I think that, you know, a lot of kids think, well, I don't want to hurt the other people's feelings, so I'm just going to stay in it. You know, I want to raise our girls and our son. I mean, I want to raise them to know if it's not going well, you should end it. And if it's not something, you know, it's kind of pointless to date someone if you don't like feel like there is somewhat of a future. I mean, no, you don't want them having to think about marriage in high school, but you want them to start thinking about what they're looking for in a partner, a life partner. So it's something I hope they learn, because I feel like it's something that I struggled with.
Until you met me.
And I just begged you to never let me go.
Yes, and then
however,
it was perfect.
However, we won't go there.
So he says, until death do us part is romantic and everything, but when we worship our relationship as something more important than ourselves, more important than our values, our needs, and everything else in our lives, we create a sick dynamic where there's no accountability. Hmm. So then it's like the whole reason to work on yourself is because you want your but there is no reason to work on yourself if you just, oh, my partner will just always be there. And it's like, well, no, it's a two-way street when it comes to that kind of thing. So I like that one. Hmm. All right, the next one was feeling attraction for people outside the relationship.
Interesting, like Benny.
Yeah, like with all
Benny
of your
the Jet.
Yeah, with all your commentary on Brad Pitt shirtless and everybody else, and Ryan Reynolds last time, and we can go on and on and on. But it says, you know what? But that's the way humans are wired, and it's one of those things where it even talks about. If you don't share it and can't appreciate it, then what you're doing, you're suppressing those things, and you're actually making your relationship more toxic. As opposed, now, doesn't
if I get, didn't think these men were attractive, I would feel like there's something wrong.
Well, but it doesn't just have to be on the celebrity. Like it says, like looking at attractive people, not whether they be they celebrity or not, it's pleasurable.
Oh, gotcha.
Talking to attractive people is pleasurable. Thinking about them is pleasurable. That's not going to change just because our Facebook relationship status changes. It says, but when and if you dampen those things, you kill a part of yourself, and it's only going to come back to harm your relationship. However, it's saying that when you take it, you can see someone as attractive. It's the acting on it and then do it, you know, where you all of a sudden then have people that leads to like philandering relationships and things like that. That becomes the pivot point. So it's okay to appreciate the human form, not letting it slip into that, you know. And it says, this was the line I was looking for. It says, when I meet a beautiful woman now, I enjoy it as any man would, but it reminds me why, out of all of the beautiful women I've ever met and dated, I chose to be with my wife. I see in the attractive women everything my wife has and most women lack.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is that what you see all the time when you're like
if
out
you
in the world?
If you could see you like I see you, you wouldn't go anywhere either. All right? So, but I try.
All right.
But I try to get you to understand that.
Do you like it when I drink pumpkin spice?
I don't know. That's that we still have not determined yet. It talks about what we can control is our actions and what we commit to. And when we commit to that special person with those actions, then everything else can come and go, as it inevitably will.
Okay.
But it also reminds me of when we talk about you, like if you want to exercise and work out, I want you to do those things because you want to do them. Do them for you. Don't do them for me. I'm going to love you regardless, but do them for you. I mean, you love me at 400, so I really got no motivation. But we got back here anyways. All right. The other one then is spending time apart. And
right.
That it is
not
okay.
Not toxic.
That it's not toxic to have some distance. And I think that one kind of, we've talked about that quite a bit. It is good to have time together, but it is okay to have trips with other people or go do things with other people and have those moments. Trips are maybe a slightly harder one given the age of our children, but I mean, that's the idea that it's okay to do those things.
Yeah.
You need oxygen to breathe, and the fire between the two of you is going to die out if you don't have some time apart to remind yourself of
that. Yeah, fire needs oxygen to keep going.
So, aren't you just
like a moth to the flame?
I wish there was video on this. I wish we had a camera so
of
people could see.
Of my face.
She has had 12 seltzers at this point.
Oh
in
40 my God!
Minutes.
Will you stop? There's not even 12 in. Well, there's 12 in the.
There's
box.
12 in the box,
but
and
not
the box
12
is
pumpkin
empty.
Spice.
All right, and then the last one that they had here was just accepting your partner's flaws.
Yeah.
And so he quotes some other things, but I mean, I think we've talked about that one quite a bit as well, but. But just the idea of being okay and accepting the things that don't make them perfect because we're not perfect. Relationships aren't perfect, and you don't have to spend your time trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Perfectly imperfect.
Just a little bit of advice. Just throwing it out to you from the Michael Jordan of relationships.
The things you think are toxic are not toxic.
Britney's toxic. Love that you're toxic. Pumpkin spice.
Watch this.
Oh, I was off.
All right, so for our intentions tonight, I love it if people are coming in late in the game and they're like, why are they playing Usher's Confessions?
Yeah.
It's close to intentions. If you've got different, at any point, if you have other songs that you want us to play, we'll figure it out. All right, so the intention tonight that I have is be thankful. It's as simple as that.
It's so basic.
Exactly. We're a basic episode tonight. But I'd actually heard that at church that where they talked about, you know, the number one thing you should do every time that you pray is begin by thanking God.
Yeah.
Even in the rough times. And so I don't know if you pay much attention when I pray for the kids at night, but I always start in some way trying to thank God. And I do it throughout the day from the standpoint of it's just like there is so much that we forget to pay attention to and be thankful that we get the chance to do that. As I remind the kids often when they're bored, be thankful you get to be bored.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't always a luxury that you get to have later on in life.
I try to say that more often, like I get to do this instead of I have to do this, or, you know, there's so many things right now where I'm like, okay, I get to do it. I get to do it.
It's a lot better headspace to be in when you can do that. And I'm trying to channel back to some of those things and I probably need to go back and read the book again when it was, you know, as I was talking about like the power of positive thought and taking back over your mind. There are a couple of those items that have stayed long term that I use to my advantage frequently, but certainly I need to reread it and help build back on some of that foundation. Yeah. So thankfulness is one of those things. Be thankful with the things that you get to do.
This intention's coming back. Around about the end of November, it's probably going to be our intention around Thanksgiving. Be thankful.
Good God. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll try not to take a two-week hiatus again. But
maybe three.
If you find the Fall Festival seltzers out there, do not deliver them to our house.
Maybe I need to try another one next week. Toasted marshmallow.
Good
Let's
God.
Get toasted.
You are toasted. All right. We'll see everybody next week.